Flavor Fest family, what's going on? We are taking you to H-Town today, Houston, Texas, because that is the city that is up next on the tour. So listen, you don't want to miss it today. We got my guy. He is an OG. He is a legend in the city of Houston. We go back, man, well over two decades. He's done a lot of work in the city. He's no stranger to CHH, the culture. And there's been a big shift in his life since when I first met him to what he's doing now. But he's making such a big impact. So we're going to take you all the way to H-Town. Let's go.
Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colony.
What's up, family? Hey, Saturday, July the 15th, Flavor Fest for the very first time is coming to the city of Houston. We are super excited. Here's the crazy part, is we are going to host it at Crossover Church. And we are Crossover Church in Tampa. So how did we hook that up? How did that happen? I mean, it's only God, but it's also this guy that's going to be on the podcast today. He's the one that made the connection with this church. We do have some churches that we're partnered with in Houston, but they weren't large enough to be able to host all the breakout workshops. But this guy right here was like, I know a pastor. I know a church. As a matter of fact, their name is familiar. They're called Crossover Bible Fellowship. And so we got connected with Crossover Bible Fellowship, and that's where we'll be hosting Flavor Fest Houston, Saturday, July 15th. You need to be there if you're anywhere in Texas or even like OKC or New Orleans. Like it's going to be worth the drive. It's going to be an amazing day. You can tap in at flavorfest.org. And so the man, the myth, the legend, the dude that hooked all this up, my brother from over two decades, y'all make some noise for my guy, Trey. Yeah.
What's up? H-Town in the building. That's not the devil horns, y'all. That's H-Town.
Come on, man. What is that, bro? You in the Illuminati? Come on, man. That's how rumors start, man.
Well, the YouTube video is out that I'm in the Illuminati. That was several years ago. That was already out. So the cat is out the bag. This is H-Town, not the devil horns, y'all.
Wow. Man, so Trey Nine, Bobby Herring. So yeah. Did you were totally raised in H-Town? That's like home since day one?
Yeah, born and raised in the city, in the inner city, man. Just, you know, that's why the ministry I've always done has been hip-hop culture, inner city, urban work, because I was raised in the inner city.
Yeah, and, it's your heart.
It's my heart. Houston is my heart. And so everything I do, I always start from home before I go wide outside of the city. And, you know, it's a blessing to be on with you, man. You interview some heavy hitters, man, and I appreciate you bringing Flavor Fest to Houston. It's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. We have needed, you know, because of my time schedule, it doesn't permit me to do a bunch of hip-hop conferences, and I've been wanting to see Texas in particular come together, because there was a time where early Christian hip-hop had conferences all over the place, and we would all meet there, and you and I would fellowship over dinner, and I would meet, you know, K-Drama and all these guys that were so far out. But that doesn't happen as much today, because obviously everybody can watch you on social media, follow you there. But if I wanted to see Cross Movement, or I wanted to see, you know, a lot of these rappers I would hear about, Gospel Gangsters or T-Bone or Ras, or, you know, you would have to travel to one of these events, conferences. Mm-hmm. So to have Flavor Fest in our city, I just thought this is a great opportunity for us to get artists from Texas together, and even a little neighbor to Texas, you know, out in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, OKC's coming.
Yeah, and so thank you for giving us that opportunity, bro.
Man, bro, of course. I mean, when we prayed about this the end of 2022, and we're like, we felt like God was calling us to take this on the road to other cities to train up leaders and give them new resources and encouragement and fellowship and innovation, and just, you know, leaders have been discouraged the last couple of years. The pandemic has been challenging for, you know, for churches and for artists. And so now as we're coming out of it, a lot of people are just exhausted. And we're like, man, we know everybody's not going to be able to make it to Tampa. So we're going to take it to some other key cities that we know, A, are influencing cities, but then B, that we have partnerships in, we have relationships in. And so, you know, immediately we thought about Houston because of you, because of Von Juan as well. We know him really well. He's a friend of Crossover Church. And you two guys were key. And then we partnered up with Urban Youth Workers. And that was kind of like the last straw that was like, okay, Houston's going to be one of those cities. And Urban Youth Workers Institute is one of our sponsors. And so they're running like the youth ministry workshop track in each city that we go to. And Will Combi, he works for UIWI and he lives in Houston. And he runs like a network of youth pastors, urban youth pastors in the city, a fuel network. And so like it's their home base. And so they're like, we got to do Houston. And I was like, all right, cool. Because we know Trey and Vaughn and there's, you know, several other artists that we know as well. So yeah, so we've watched it come together. This is the last stop on the tour, and we feel like it's going to be the best one. It's going to be the best one.
It will be.
Yeah. And so you came up with this really cool idea, man, to do a cipher, man. So talk about that. Let everybody know about the first ever Flavor Fest cipher. And I think, bro, we're going to bite this, and we're going to use this at Flavor Fest in Tampa in the future as well. It's such a great idea.
I'm a big proponent of unity, bro. I mean, we need that, you know. Yeah. Unity of the shows a lot of maturity in Christ when we read the scripture. And so when you had told me, hey, this is for Houston artists, I stay in touch with artists across Texas, and then my boy Trinity Trey up in Oklahoma City, and you know, they want to be a part of something. And I know the beauty that comes with coming together at an event like this. I know the excitement that is around it. I know that the motivation, the call to focus in on ministry for a lot of these artists in the industry. I know that that's what happens at these events. And so I needed to figure out how to convince you that that was something that would be great. Although we have over 100 artists in Houston, how we allow San Antonio and Austin and Corpus Christi and Waco to participate. And so I thought, man, what, you know, we have a cipher in Houston. We actually have two ciphers. We're about to drop the second one. And what we do is take a neighborhood and give it a boost and do these to say, this is the good in the neighborhood. This, we're representing the good, because the secular rappers tend to always represent the bad and talk about negative things and even glorify that. So these ciphers are great. And so when I proposed to you, can we just, I know we can't give artists from other cities a, you know, 5 minute, 10 minute slot, because that would push everybody else out. You wouldn't have enough time.
And the concert would be like 20 hours long.
with 30 artists, you know. And so I thought it was a great concept to just allow them to come do a 8 minute or less cipher. And so we've got, you know, five cities coming to represent to do a cipher. So you're going to have, you know, maybe, you know, 40 artists or something just doing these ciphers. And hopefully they learn stuff in the artist track and the ministry track in the process. Because that's my biggest thing now that I'm older, is I have an obligation as an elder statesman, as Flame put it in the new Bizzle song. I feel mandated. I feel obligated. I feel it's my duty to look out for these next generation MCs, or the now generation of MCs. So this is one way to do that, bro. You know,
I'm not
trying to rap. I don't do that anymore. I'll feature here and there. I'll lead a cipher here and there. But you know,
I heard you're gonna spit a couple bars on the H-Town cipher, right? Come on, man.
Yeah, I got a little 8 bars to kick it off, and then hand the mic over.
dope. Yeah, man, and I love that about you, Trey, is that you are a connector. And, I mean, that's really the heart of God, is that we are connectors. We're not in competition with each other.
No.
We need to be connectors. And when God gives us platforms of any size, like, we need to use those platforms, you know, not just for ourselves, but for others, and to elevate their gifts and their message, and to connect them with other people. And I love that about you, because that's what I love to do. That's the heart of Flavor Fest. We've always just tried to bring everybody together from every camp, like the Reform people, the Pentecostals, the non-denominationals, the people that say Jesus in every line of their song, the people that are don't say much about Jesus, the underground, the East Coast, the Dirty South, the, you know, we
you
try
do
to bring
that
it
well.
All together and, you know, hey, what do we have in common? How can we still, you know, work together and spread the gospel and empower each other and learn from one another? And so Flavor Fest has always been a great place for that to bubble up. And so this makes a lot of sense.
You're the longest running Christian hip hop event I know. You know, many have come and gone, including some that I used to do. And for Flavor Fest to still be around, you know, it says a lot about your perseverance, your endurance. And I think it also says a lot about what we've been able to hand over to the next generation. Like, you know, when I look at Christian hip hop today, of course, with social media now much more prevalent than it was when me and you were doing this early on, you know, I think about, I can see some of the things that we did carry over. You know, a lot of the fights we used to have over stuff, they're not as dominant in the genre today. We see them bubble up, right? But I think it's because of unified events, people that are trying to create unity within either their cities or nationally, that Christian hip hop has thrived. You know, we didn't leave it. I personally didn't try to leave it in a bad place. And I definitely haven't left it today as kind of an elder. And so, you know, because of people like you, man, you know, people like Scott Free in Atlanta and others who have kept their hand and their, you know, a hand on the pulse, a finger on the pulse. I'm very proud of Christian hip hop. There's the areas always you can improve in everything, but I'm very proud of Christian hip hop. You were talking to KB earlier, and I listen to guys like him and Bizzle, amazed by their quality, their ability, and more importantly, their stance. Like they are firm, rock solid, and I'm doing this as a calling to God, whether I get money or not. But praise God, they get money and they get to do it full time. That's a luxury I didn't have. I had to earn it other ways. But I'm very thankful for events like Flavor Fest, and we need more of them, Tommy.
Yeah, you know, we do, man. We can't be the only ones. And right now, since the pandemic, we're really kind of like one of the only ones. There was a few before the pandemic, and since then, pretty much everything has been dormant. And that was also another reason why it nudged us off the fence, because people have been asking us to go to other cities really since it started. Oh, we need to do this here. We need to do this in California. And we were always just like, whoa, maybe someday. That sounds great, but it's a lot of work, and we're running a church, and that's our main thing we do, right? We're not just a conference organization. Like some conferences out there become an organization. They have a full-time staff, a couple people that just do that. We're like, none of us do this as a job. This is on top of the job that we already have. And
thank
so,
y'all. Lily, all them, man. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for bringing it here.
Lily, shout out to Lily Perlaza, the Flavor Fest director. And she does a lot behind the scenes. And then we have a great team of volunteers that are from the church. And over the years, that team changes somewhat and ebbs and flows. We get some new people and some people that have been on the team for a while and some people that are off the team. Then they come back a few years later. And so, you know, but the volunteers, we rely heavily on volunteers. And it's been great. And so we are doing the Cypher for the very first time in Houston. And actually, you said five, but guess what? We have seven. There was six. But I just got a text a few minutes ago from Trinity Trey, and he's like, because he had originally told me Waco was out, and he just texted me, and hold on, I'm going to read it to you, bro.
Yeah.
He said, I just got a text that Waco has bought their tickets, and they already recorded their cipher. Here are their names. So shout out to Pastor Juan. I see his name on there. Juan from Waco, Texas. They got a squad of like five. So and then you got Waco, you got Houston, you got OKC, Corpus Christi, Dallas, right?
Yeah.
And what else?
Austin? Austin and San Antonio?
And San Antonio. That's seven. It's hey, the number of completion. It's God's
number. All I can say to y'all other cities, if you can't pull that off, then you ain't where we're at. All right, if you can't pull that off. So I challenge you, Tommy, even in Florida, can you pull that off? I don't think you could do that, Tom.
I don't think I could right now, to be honest with you. With all the other hats I'm wearing right now, I can't. But it gives me something to aspire to. I think it can be done here in Florida as well. I mean, we could definitely do one from Tampa all day. But to get that from the other cities, like, I do have some contacts, but, yeah. We could maybe get, like, three.
I don't even believe you can pull a Tampa cipher together to represent a neighborhood and inspire a neighborhood. I don't think you have enough unity.
We got enough rappers right here that are in my church that we could do that with, man. We got that, bro.
Okay. I don't think
we got Long Boy. Jay Reborn. We got D-Tunes. We got Monster Tarver that goes to my church.
I am publicly challenging you right now.
Urban D can drop some bars. Like, look, there we go.
You talk that talk, but let me see you walk that walk.
Okay. That's a challenge for me. Challenge for me. So, man, speaking of unity and you bringing everybody together, this idea was also kind of birthed out of, you do this thing in Houston called Rappers of the Roundtable. So talk a little bit about that. And before you do, I want to just say this, bro. I love that you said you just didn't leave hip hop, you know, in a bad place, Christian hip hop. Like, nah, man, you're still involved. You might not be, like, putting albums out right now, but you're still pouring into artists, and you're still discipling artists. And so, yeah, man, I love that, bro. And we need to still keep a hand in the culture. Like, the things that I'm doing, the things that, like you said, Scott's doing, and there's a few others of us, man, as the elder statesmen, the OGs now. We're getting to that OG status, bro.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing when we can be looked up to because we've been around. So a lot of artists already look up to me and they say, man, you've been doing it, Trey. I need some advice. And so I think it's a beautiful thing that they give me that level of respect. And so with that, I have to be a good steward of that. And so Rappers of the Roundtable is something that I wanted to use to bring them together and pour resources into them, allow them to meet another, talk about difficult things, you know, that they're dealing with, trouble, you know, with their music or whatever, connect them to the resources they need to advance their music career, as well as keeping that ministry focused, because that's the priority for me. We have we're in one of the most diverse cities, if not the most diverse city in the United States, and we have, you know, access to 7.2 million people in greater Houston and Houston. And so music is the pulse of most cities, and you have to keep music alive with content that gives them the gospel. And so I want to see Christian hip hop thrive here. I want it to continue to penetrate homes, the ears of the youth, schools, prisons, and everywhere. And I don't need to put out albums myself to do that. I just need to make sure that I'm pouring into the next generation. And so when you look at Eyes on Me, our volunteers, our staff, people like that, we have rappers like yourself in your church that are right there looking for that, you know, that direction. And they want to travel. They want to do mission trips. They want to do all the things I got to do when I was doing it. And so I make a way for that. You know, we're deploying 13 artists to five different cities next month. And these are artists that have went through the process of discipleship. These are artists that have committed over industry. And so to be able to send them out like that as a ministry, I think brings more valuable value, because the next generation they end up pouring to, that's the standard. That will be the standard. And so Rappers of the Roundtable, once a quarter, we come together. I might have a guest like you. I might have a panel of pastors. I might have, you know, just a time for us to pray for our city, pray for one another, which is something we do anyway. And the whole goal is to make Christian hip hop much more influential in our city, keep it ministry so that churches can take advantage of what they have in their city with Christian hip hop artists. And of course, keep us strong and healthy as a body, because we are the church. Christian hip hop is not some, you know, some outside group of ragtag, you know, people that are. These are evangelists, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. You know, we're all that. We're part of the body, and I want to make sure they're included in everything that happens within outreach in the city and discipleship.
Man, that's so good, bro. So what would you say, man? There's a lot of artists that watch this podcast, and it's church leaders and church planners and entrepreneurs, but a lot of artists too. And so what would be some of your words of wisdom you could drop on some artists that are watching this right now? Maybe some of the main points that you always try to get across to the artists that are part of Rappers of the Roundtable.
Yeah, it's pretty basic, man. I think that if you're not careful, you can find yourself chasing a dream rather than fulfilling your calling. Because, you know, trying to blow up in Christian hip hop, I can understand the reason why, because you see artists that are successful, you see artists that are traveling, artists that are getting money. Yeah. That was something that was hard to see back when we started. And so because guys like Tommy and myself, we came from the struggle of Christian hip hop, where the church didn't want it, the world didn't want it. So we definitely weren't getting money. We fought hard for making it known, getting it to be accepted, so church pastors and youth groups would book us, so to speak, so we could sell our CDs and tapes after the show and provide that way. Nowadays, because y'all have role models that are blazing trails, making money, you know, it's very easy to lose yourself in that and be like, man, I want what he has. I can do it because I'm a great MC, because I'm phenomenal at rapping, right? And so when you set your sight on that, you can lose track of, oh, but God has something so much more fulfilling and meaningful and purposeful.
Yeah.
And how do you make the shift from being a person that's seeking your calling from God to walk in your calling as a minister, as an ambassador, as that new creation he talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17? How can you keep that the main thing and allow the fruits of that to complement what you do? If you can do that, and I say you do it through having great mentors that have either gone through that process or there. Unfortunately, Tommy, many of the MCs that are doing so well don't take the time to pour back into these younger artists. They don't have, you know, the capacity maybe, or they don't have the heart, one of the two, to give these guys a schooling, you know, to lead that workshop, to, you know, try to empower these artists that are outside of their circle, you know? So for those artists that are out there, and the best advice I can give you is God is your source, not your music.
Yeah.
See his will for your life, which is basically seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Follow that, and you never know. You, like me, you may run a nonprofit. You may be a manager. You may be a promoter. You may run a website. I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But follow what God wants for you and allow music to complement that, rather than chasing your music dreams and saying, God, work on making me successful. Work on helping me sell more.
That's good, man. That's good. Cool. So let's rewind a little bit for some people that are watching, and they might not even know about the Trey Nine from like back in the day. So grew up in Houston, born and raised, inner city environment, hip hop was part of your life. You loved it, right? So, you know, when did you start rapping, and when was that time that you had that conversion and started really following Jesus and said, man, I'm going to do my music for the Lord?
I started writing raps when I was in the fifth grade, when I fell in love with hip hop culture, and wrote pages, but never did it publicly. All throughout junior high, even all throughout high school, I just never public. It wasn't until the 11th grade I met a guy who had a little 4-track recorder in his apartment. He was an older guy. He managed the pawn shop, and so he would get all this equipment and let me come in. This was in a neighborhood called Queens Point out here, and I started recording my filthy, dirty, explicit raps, right? And me and him also, by the time I finished high school, we had an idea to set up sound for churches and make money off them. And the first church that called was my sister's church. I was unchurched. I didn't grow up in church. And somebody broke in their church and stole all the equipment. Long story short, they booked me. I'm working the sound, making money. I'm listening to the message by, it was an all black church. So the pastor was a big burly black man and he preached the word with boldness. I never heard anything before. And I was sucked in. And so now I had these filthy raps. I had a 4-song EP ready to go, explicit. And I'm like, what do I do with this? Because according to this word that I'm reading, I can't release this. And I made a transition to say, I'm going to just change the lyrics, make it positive. I did that in the studio. And then I just couldn't drop that because God was working on my heart, transformed my, doing my mind. So my lyrics started becoming more of a Christian, you know, content. Mm-hmm. I went to a comedy club called Just Joking, competed in Apollo Night against a variety of secular talents. And I ended up going to the finals against a breakdance crew called Havoc. And those guys and I squared off. I ended up winning the competition, but they ended up becoming my friends for life and becoming even dancers within some of my concerts. Cole Cuts is one of those,
Guys. Oh, I was going to say, man, was Cole Cuts one of those guys?
That one of those guys. That's
what's up, man. I haven't talked to him in years, man. That's a good dude.
He's doing great, running his own company and everything. But from that point on, I knew from winning that competition, it was only $100 and I don't even think they paid me it. But
but you were like, yeah, I won $100.
But that was God's way of saying, look, if you could do it in a secular comedy club, this is what I want you to do. And from that point on in 1995, I dropped my first EP in 1996. Then I realized there weren't any Christian record labels except maybe Grape Tree and a few others. I said, God, let me start a record. So in 1998, I started Much Love Records, began dropping artists, everybody from Enoch to Von Juan to Mark J, Psy, S.O.M., the Warriors in Austin, 007 from the Fifth Ward Boys, all these different gifted.
And you eventually got distribution, right?
Yes, thank God. Nolly gave me distribution through Grape Tree Distribution.
Yeah.
And then, as that began to grow, then the things began to get changed and we got into the digital era. And so I didn't get to capitalize off what a lot of guys capitalize off today, but I sure had a good time, man. And I sure feel like we did our part. We did our part as early, I guess, there were pioneers before me. Right.
Yeah, there was.
There were guys in the 80s.
Definitely during our era, CHH got a lot more developed. There was the first kind of real events that started to form and labels really started to form that were just Christian hip hop, like Cross Movement Records and Grape Tree and, Much Love. There wasn't really Christian hip hop record labels in the 80s and 90s up until the late 90s. It was always like a few smidgen of a few hip-hop artists got signed to a Nashville, CCM label, and they were like, well, we'll try this hip-hop thing. We got one hip-hop group, but it wasn't a hip-hop label. And so, crazy thing, bro, I didn't even realize this, my first album dropped in 1996 as well.
Come on, man. That's why we're brothers.
27 years ago. Oh, my gosh.
Woo. Well, see, you had an album. I just had a little EP. That was it, man. You got me on that one.
It was an album, but it was a tape at first. It was a tape with like 10 songs on it, pressed 300 copies, 300 cassettes. And in 3 months, I sold all 300, saved that money up, went back in the studio, recorded a couple remixes and a few new songs, and then came out with a deluxe CD. And I had a CD and a tape. I did the 500-500 package. I saved up for that. That was like, if you had a CD back then, like you were so legit. Trey Nine disappeared. I bet you he's going to get a CD right now.
Oh, man, I got better than that, bro.
Oh, there you go.
I got the cassette.
And so still for those don't know wrapped.
You don't know what a cassette is. This
Marooned.
Is a cassette.
There it is. I remember that album, man. Maroon. You had Maroon. I remember the farmer. You had the John Deere hat on, like sitting on a tractor. That definitely stuck out. You're like, what in the world is this? It looks like a country album.
Hey, that helped out with people knowing who I was.
It did, man. It stuck out. And then you got booked at all those like rural like places in Iowa and stuff. They're like, we got to bring that rapper in.
Hey, I was trying to kick doors down, man. You know?
You were, bro. But then at the same time, man, like we started Flavor Fest in the year 2000, really just as the need of like training leaders. Music was absolutely a part of it because I was an artist and we were putting on hip hop concerts. And so the idea was at that time, like nobody knew how to put on a good Christian rap concert, like aesthetic wise.
Yeah, like, that's right.
I would get booked. I was national by that time, 99, my first album came out. So I was getting booked to fly around the country. They paid several thousand dollars to bring me and a couple guys in, our plane tickets, hotels, honorarium. And we'd show up in this church room and it would basically be like a boom box and a microphone with all the lights on. Like, here, guys, here's the concert. We're like, man, this is horrible. Turn the lights off. Like, get some colored lights. Like, you got to get a sound system with some bass. And like, this is
terrible. Makes it look good.
And so we were putting on great underground hip-hop style shows since 1997 was our first one that we did. And we were gathering hundreds and hundreds of people. And we had lights and the DJ live and a great host. And we had great, you know, bass speakers. And like, it was, people would come in and be like, yo, I can't believe this is a church, right? And so part of Flavor Fest was even like, we're going to do a concert and to have a great time. But one of the big reasons is we want to show you how you can do this in your city and what it can look like to do a concert in excellence. And so at the time, we were doing a Christian hip-hop concert between 98 and 2008. Flavor Alliance was doing a concert every quarter. And we'd bring in a national artist or two, and then all the local artists would kind of open up. And, you know, we'd have a couple DJs, breakdancing would be involved, and just intelligent lighting and smoke. And just, you know, we had this whole vibe that nobody else was doing. But as people were visiting us from around the country and around the state, other people started to put events on that were similar. They were coming to Flavor Fest. And, like, it kind of really helped people see, like, oh, it could look like this. And if you remember in 2002, 2003, Flavor Fest, a double disc DVD came out by Steel Roots, and it was even in the stores. And each one of those CDs sold, like, you know, they gave us the numbers. We never got any money from it, but I think they gave us like some free copies regularly that we were able to sell. So we made a little money, but they sold over 5,000 copies of each one. Reason we didn't get any money, because they spent like $35,000 to come down to film it. They brought this big truck, and I mean, this was before digital era. They had like five camera angles and all these camera people, the switcher truck, and you know, so it was a big production. But that really kind of helped put it on the map for people to see, like, yo, this is what Christian hip hop, this is what a concert can look like. And so,
and as a result, people don't know, but that type of work and that type of investment by early pioneers like yourself is accelerated Christian hip hop to be what it is today. And we know that and we realize that.
Yeah, a lot of people may not remember. And then there was a TV show that came out from it as well, that they had me host. I did like 19 episodes that we recorded in like 3 days. And I was the host of it. And that was on the INSP network, the Inspiration Network, which I don't even think that exists anymore. But
do you feel like even the guys who were upper echelon MCs doing their thing today, do you feel like they respect those guys who were putting those events together, early pioneer? I feel like I get that level of love and support and respect because of my work. And then I think of guys like KB, who, you know, graciously did a song with me as I was finishing my last piece of work. And when I asked them, like, why did you do that with me? Because most upper echelon MCs, some of them won't even answer the phone, regardless of what you did early on. Him doing that, and I thought about how he was connected with you.
That was huge. He's got a great heart. He honors the people that came before him. He's solid all around.
Do you feel honored? Because you should be honored. Do you feel honored by...
I mean, I think the honor part, I'll say yes. And I think that's kind of come around more, I'd say, in the last like 5 years or so, being that there's more time, you know, and as time passes and then people get nostalgic and they're like, oh yeah, you know? And so, but yeah. And then there's on the other hand, there's a group of people that may not even know have no idea who we are, what we did, and that's fine. You know, a lot of our culture as a whole doesn't always like history or get into it. I've always been like a history buff. I love history. Yeah. I love biblical history. I can nerd out on that a little bit sometimes, like hip hop history. But
we put on, when I was putting on award shows, I love, you know, the foundation of hip hop so much, man. We had Sugar Hill Gang out here. We had Special Ed, all these hip hop.
That's what I want to talk about. I was moving in that direction. I got a little ADD. So so talk about the All Eyes on Me. I was talking about Flavor Fest, but then I was like, man, and then like you guys started doing this thing, the All Eyes on Me. And I remember that one year I went, bro, you had Sway there and you had Special Ed. I was in the back because I was, you know, I think I performed the song and I got an award, and so I was like in the green room in the back area, and just I'm standing there chopping it up with Special Ed, and I'm like, bro, this used to be my favorite song. I'm your idol, the highest title, numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. You know, that was like my jam. Yeah. I got it made. You know, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know what he's talking about, you look up early. You know, rappers, Sugar Hill Gang, Special Ed.
Special Ed, that was like 89, I think.
We had the legendary P-Funk George Clinton present an award. We had Sway from... this. Sway was introduced to Christian hip-hop at our award show. And so...
and he loved it. I remember I gave him one of my first book, and he was just like, man, yeah, this is amazing. This is going to change the culture.
Yes, he said that from the stage. He said, you know, this is what's missing in hip hop today. I think I found what is missing. Yep. And so it's such a joy when I see him bringing Christian rappers on his show and having such a high level of respect. You know, we know, you know, early on when he came to the award show, I had to pay for that, you know. I had to pay to bring him here and these other guys. And so anyway,
you made that investment, bro, and that's why today you've seen like a Lecrae, Andy Mineo. I even remember like Jin was on there.
Yeah. You know,
all these different Christian hip hop artists, and he's given them a platform, respect, big ups them. And a lot of people from the general hip hop culture have discovered some CHH stuff through even, you know, his show and his voice. And that can trace back to you making that investment, paying that probably big honorarium. You got to tell me what that is off camera. And And your cleaning company paid for it, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you guys like you who did an excellent event and set a standard in a bar for, you know, having lights, having great sound, having a good flow of that service. Yeah. You know, was great, because when Sway came, what if he would have came and it would have just been this rink-a-dink thing that some of these churches would do, where they would just youth room with a boo-boo sound system.
Yep.
So you see how it all ties together, guys. So for those of you watching, you know, excellence, because you're representing Christ and you're representing a genre that has struggled to be accepted. We've been called corny and weak ever since we started, and now a level of respect. So keep it there. But Tommy, you know, for those who may not know, award shows, you know, the Doves, the GMAs, what was the name of the Stellar Awards? Like, they used to disrespect us. They used to put...
there was no place for us.
There was no place for us, and they would try to make a place for us by having a rap category and then give it to
Carmen.
They give it to Carmen.
God rest his soul. But he did one rap song because it was a cool thing, and it... oh, Carmen wins. Oh, DC Talk wins. You know, it was like...
yep, Kirk Franklin would win, and shout out to you know, Toby. He does a little rap, but we were like, "Whoa, how could you just leave us out?" And so I just decided back then, you know what? Let's do our own award show. If it's not there and there's a gap missing, let's do our own award show. And so for 8 years, we did. First, we started with the Houston Holy Hip Hop Achievement Awards. 3 years in, Texas Holy Hip Hop Achievement Awards, and then the last one was the All Eyes on Me Achievement Awards, which we honored pioneers. Everyone, like, you know, Gospel Gangsters and PID, many of them. It was an award show for pioneers. And so that's when we we had closed it out. That 8 year run. And those are beautiful memories for Christian hip hop.
And I'm just curious, bro. Why again did you close it out? This is just me asking. I know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of funding. It's a lot.
I can tell you. Remember, going back to what I said earlier, you got to follow what God wants you to do rather than what you want to do to build, and even to build an industry or build your music career. And so for me, God had called me to sell my cleaning company and go full time as a missionary, an urban missionary. And it took 30 to 40 grand to put on that award show. And you know, you got to remember, we didn't have the same access to promotion and marketing through social media. You know, we had to pay for magazine ads, things like that. And so it was very difficult for me to sustain that without my janitorial company, which paid the way for my cleaning, my record label and my music career. And so I had to sacrifice doing an award show for following my calling to build a nonprofit ministry that I run today called, Eyes on Me, Inc. So that's why I had to stop that.
So what year was that closed down and then you started to make that transition? And that's where I want to kind of land the plane the last few minutes, is really talk about what you're doing today, which is incredible.
Yeah, it had to be around 2006 or seven, somewhere around there. I think it was 2007, because 2008 is when I launched full time as an urban missionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. So now I recently got to come to Houston and got to see like the facility you had with offices, and you know, there was a podcast studio. You're teaching kids how to do that. There was a classroom where kids were learning how to customize sneakers. But on top of that, I mean, all those are great skills, but the root of it was a discipleship program, you know?
Yeah.
So talk about what you're doing with Disciple the Streets.
Sorry, sounds like somebody's vacuuming downstairs. When I was obviously called to move away from entrepreneurship, running my business and my company, and go full-time as an urban missionary, there wasn't a lot of support for urban missionaries. The term was thrown around in Christian hip-hop albums and songs, but to be able to launch as a missionary that was using hip-hop to reach the streets, there just wasn't support for that. And so it was a big challenge for me. At that time, I saw Christian rap on the rise. I saw many Christian rappers doing it. I felt like it was a good time for me to make the jump and not have to be a rapper producing a bunch of albums and releasing albums.
Yeah.
So I made the jump and said, okay, Lord, how do I pay my bills? How do I pay my mortgage? What do I do with these cars and all this? And long story short, just God provided, right? It was a struggle. I remember going on WIC food stamps at one time. I remember almost being 2 months behind my mortgage. But God just wanted to teach me through that struggle that he would provide. Mm-hmm. Now, by no means giving you guys a checklist and saying, hey, if you're struggling on your mortgage and on food stamps, keep going because God's called you to this. No, because some of y'all make foolish decisions and you shouldn't. God has not called you to it. You know, don't do that. But through what happened in my life and the way it transpired, I had even told God if I was 60 days behind on my mortgage, then I would go get a job. Somehow I missed it. Somehow I shouldn't have made the jump. And then on day 59, a very wealthy man said, hey, Trey, I want to start supporting your ministry. And from that point on, you know, God just, I was sold out. I knew God wanted me to do this. And so then you go through the formation of a nonprofit and funding that. So from 2008 to current, Eyes on Me, Inc. exists to mentor, disciple, serve, and serve at-risk youth and their families. We are an intense disciple-making movement in underserved communities, hard-to-reach places. And God has provided through the volunteer, through individuals, churches, Christian grant organizations, and even some businesses like Goya Foods. And what we started out doing was just hip hop outreach in the street, started in Fifth Ward, even under a guy named Jay Prince, who many of y'all know, who opened his facilities to us. He was the first one to say, come do it here. And then over time of being faithful over this little outreach in the streets, we've developed into community centers, mission centers, where we have a podcast studio to teach young people how to talk it out and how to create podcasts. We have a recording studio where we have artists who sit and write with them and help them develop their own songs, or engineer. We have customization where they learn how to do, you know, stuff like this, you know, custom shoes, you know what I'm saying?
That's hot.
And this wasn't done by a kid. This was a professional. But when I started getting into custom shoes, I was
that's
like,
so dope.
Can't we teach kids this stuff? And then we have a sports league in one of our mission centers that focuses on soccer, and we're about to open up basketball. And so all of these things are a means to an end. The desire is that they come to know Jesus and they are adopted into the family of God and they are a part of the body of Christ, the church. And so all these programs are just a means to meet the needs in those communities we're in and get them to that point. So long story short, the mission centers, food pantry, clothing pantry, food drives, drive-by food distributions, we do it all. We have five neighborhoods we're in. Three of those neighborhoods have full-fledged mission community centers that serve the community.
And I just want to talk about the cycles and ciphers too.
Okay.
That looked amazing. So yeah. You guys are doing some really creative outreach type stuff to draw people in and then plug them into your programs. And so I saw this crazy thing with motorcycles jumping off of ramps in the middle of the hood.
And Tommy, granted, I could book an artist that has a big draw and have a bunch of Christians at an event. I know the game.
Yeah.
My philosophy is I want to go where the lost are. I want to give them what they've never seen, even if it means I don't have a huge crowd. I want to use local artists. I want to allow local artists to shine on a really nice stage, because these local artists are the ones who are going to follow up anyway. So for me, it's more about serving the community rather than making sure I have 2,000 people at an event.
Yeah.
So if you look at our Cycles and Ciphers events, you may see, 300 people. And for me, those 300 are just as worth it to me as...
That's still a good crowd, bro. If you're getting... That's mostly people right there from the neighborhood. That's
in the Texas heat.
That's a W.
In the Texas heat, it's almost over 100 degrees out here, you know? We're across the street from the drug dealers. They sell dope, what, like 15 hours a day in this one parking lot. All they do is sell dope. People pull in, they come up to you. They don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic. They come up to you and offer it to you. And so we wanted to do it right street from them. We want to do it right where the stuff is happening, because we got to take the light to the dark. So Cycles and Ciphers, you got motocross. Shout out to Zero Gravity Ministries. Y'all look them up online. If you want to bring a motorcycle, motocross event to your city, they will come. Zero Gravity Ministries, and then we have a partner here that has his name's Mark Lewis, has a wonderful stage that's automatic, pops up, go for it. And then we have phenomenal MCs here, shout out to all the H-Town MCs. So that's what we're doing, and once again, it goes back to early on, man. We know how to do events. We can do events voted, but ultimately it's a means to get the word out about this good, that Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He rose in three. One day he's coming back, y'all. And all I can say is, when y'all look at the news and y'all look at these reports on social media and y'all get all fired up about transgender and ideologies and, gay marriage and satanic practices happening on these award shows and all that, do something about it. Like, stop just saying, wow, it's so bad. Do something about it. Get out in the community. Reach people. Let me inspire you. Start that outreach. Put on that conference. Launch that ministry, because you're the answer. The body of Christ is the answer. Jesus is coming back. Days are evil. It's going to continue to get worse and worse. But all we want to do is slow the work of the enemy and expedite the work of the church. And we're the answer. That's my
man, bro. We're the answer, man. Don't go out there and be like, oh, we got to protest. We got to go do that. Like, man, just go out and change hearts.
Yeah.
You know, you can't legislate hearts. We need to go out and get our hands dirty, get in the community and work on people's hearts and build relationships and meet needs and serve people. And we found that, man, when we serve people, like, the guard begins to go down, you know.
Right.
Like the old saying, they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And when we do love our city, like, the guard begins to go down, we serve people, and it builds bridges and gives us an opportunity to share about Jesus and share why we're doing this. Jesus said to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So we're just here following the words of Jesus. We're here to serve you, no strings attached. And people are like, okay, wow.
I think you would agree with me, Tommy, that, you know, as two Christian hip-hop early, you know, early Christian hip-hop kind of trailblazers, that's what we want for these artists, man. Look, y'all are, one day y'all aren't going to rap. One day you're just not going to have it anymore. And what are you going to leave behind? You know,
what's your legacy?
Are you leave something behind so others can walk up on that platform that you were used to build? Or are you just going to leave behind some music? You know, don't just leave behind some music. You know, you got to leave behind something that they could see. I remember when there was no radio shows covering Christian hip hop. Yep. I remember when there were no award shows, even when there were no conferences. And the last thing I want to see is the next generation not have it better than me. And I look at Tom's work and other trailblazers' work, and I say, you know, we left y'all something. Be faithful over what you have, the luxuries you enjoy, the money you make, the tours you do. And begin to pay it forward with that next generation. There's 16-year-olds trying to rap for Jesus right now. Yep. You know, and nobody's paying attention to them. And nobody's helping them. Nobody's walking with them. Don't let that happen in your city. Don't let that happen. Take that young man under your wing. Begin to nurture him. Bizzles is doing it with his kids, I see. Yeah. You know, like, do that. Prepare the next generation because you are getting older. Yeah. Look at the phrase, you know, Tommy and I are, you know, we're older. Leave something behind. Leave a legacy. We ain't gonna give them your young secret.
Yeah, man. I'm not letting my grades come in too much yet. They're there a little bit.
A little older than you.
Man, are your kids still doing some music? They did a couple songs, right?
Gave them a shot when they were younger, about 6 years ago. They did a little fire song and music video, and they determined they did not want to perform. So no, they are not doing music.
Yeah, but I know, bro. I tried to. My oldest daughter, she sings a little bit. She was singing for a little season there about three, four years ago, and did a hook with me, started performing with me, traveled with me a couple times. Then the pandemic hit, and then she don't want to do it anymore. And so I'm like, okay. You know,
so
teenagers, it's tough, man. They can be so self-conscious about their image and their sound and all that stuff. I thought she did great. But anyways, pray for my kids. Pray for Trey's kids that they'll find what God has for them, even if it's not in music like their dad's.
Yeah, shout out to Vaughn Wan. He got his kids doing it, man.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, Richie Righteous, too. Shout out to Richie Righteous. He's a CHH artist that his kids are doing music as well, his son.
That's a challenge to y'all. MCs, man, who are you mentoring to come up next after you?
That's good.
Yeah, maybe Tommy, that's what we need to do, more challenges, you know, like that. Hey, who are you raising up?
Yep.
You know, things like where's your city cipher? Like, hey man, something's being birthed here. I got a new calling.
Got a new calling, man. Well, hey bro, tell everybody how they can find you. What's the best way to get connected to Trey Nine and even, you know, to All Eyes on Me Inc.?
Yes, you can go to our website. And by the way, it's Eyes on Me Inc. I know, you know, Tommy being a old school, you know, hip hop rap, I'm sure All Eyes on Me, Tupac just left it in his brain.
I'm sorry, man. It's not all the eyes, it's just eyes.
Yes. God's eyes are on us and people. No, a quick story about that. I did apply for All Eyes on Me Inc. and it got rejected by the Secretary of State because there was a doctor's office called All I Care. And so it got rejected. So I just took the all off and that worked. But eyesonmeinc.com is our website. On social media, you can find us at Eyes on Me Inc. For me personally, where I post most of my stuff is Trainon Online on Instagram, at Trainon Online. And then on Facebook, it's at Trey to the Nine. Just spell it out. Trey, T-R-E-T-O-T-H-E-N-I-9.
And so you are going to be doing a workshop in Houston. And what are you going to be talking about, bro? You're on the outreach track.
Yeah, community transformation. We don't see that much in communities. We see outreach. We see churches. But we don't see community transformation. And we've been able to see that in one of our communities that we've been in the longest, called Brookshire, Texas. And so we want to share the tips, the tools, the things that we did out there to see a community come together and begin to unite, work together so that they have a much better place and a presence of God like they've never had before. So we're going to share community transformation with you guys, and we hope you'll join us.
Good, good. Yeah, so we got an outreach track. We got one for entrepreneurship. We got one for youth ministry with urban youth workers. We have one for church innovation. We have one for, oh man, I'm missing one. It's been a long week, Trey. But yo, go to the website, flavorfest.org. You can look at the details. There's two workshops in each session. And then we got two general sessions. I'm going to be sharing one of them, talking about how to rebrand ourselves. God wants to do some rebranding in us. And then an OG, you mentioned him a little earlier, but Fred Lynch from PID is going to be speaking in the other general session. And he's going to be doing some music that night with his squad, bro. There's going to be a whole set that PID is going to do. So that's going to be...
Yeah, I was happy to know they've been rehearsing for this set.
They're getting ready, man. They're rehearsing. They're putting some stuff up on IG. They're taking it serious. They're like, yo, we're going to Flavor Fest. And so they're coming to represent that late 80s, early 90s CHH.
Love it.
So it's going to be dope, man. So flavorfest.org. Come hang out with us, me and Trey, the rest of the squad, Saturday, July 15th at Crossover Church. Bible Fellowship right there in H-Town. So, Trey, can you close us out, man, with a word of prayer, bro? Pray for everybody that's watching this, man, all the leaders tapping in, bro.
Father God, thank you so much for just this podcast and who it touches and who it reaches. I just pray everyone who's watched it could see the heart of myself and Tommy, that it's to further your gospel, advance your kingdom, equip your church. And so may someone have been equipped today, God. Maybe someone is listening right now and they've been touched to start that ministry or to redirect their heart and their mind back towards you, because maybe it drifted or went astray. And so help them, God, to align themselves with you and right where you want them to be rather than where they want to be, Father. And I pray for those who may be watching that needed some encouragement. Father, may they be encouraged right now. May they just desire more of you, desire to be a part of a body of believers that will help them be accountable. If their church hurt, God, I pray you would bring healing to them so that they might find that body of believers where they can grow and they can go and impact this world. And Father, for anyone who don't know you, may they know that you are the Lord and Savior. You died for our sins. You came to earth and you fulfilled going on a cross and being crucified and then raising from the dead so that we might be saved. And Lord, may they come to appreciate that and embrace that and embrace that they are a sinner in need of salvation and that you forgive all sins. So may they make that decision. And Lord, I just pray for the Flavor Fest that's coming to Houston. God, may you have your hand on it. May everyone be needs to be there. May the workshops go great, the performances go great, and this just be a wonderful event that blesses this city and beyond for all the cities that will be represented there. And Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, make some noise for my guy, Trey, to the Nine. Yeah, well, hey, we will see you guys Saturday, July 15th. We got one more episode before that, and then we are coming to Houston. God bless you guys. We out.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at FlavorFest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.